You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcast by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. As promised, I'm going to give you an update as to where we stand, and when I say we, I mean where does Congress stand, in regards to giving President Obama fast-track negotiating authority to negotiate trade agreements with both single countries and multiple countries. And I'll give you concisely where we're at. Congress has given itself to the end of July, July 30th, to relook at how to get trade promotion authority to the president, how to get that passed. That's the first step. He needs that authority so he can submit what he's negotiated to Congress. Now, you need to understand, and you'll also hear the phrase fast-track trade negotiation authority. I'm going to call it TPA, because that's the legal definition, or a better way to say that, that's the title of the bill. What does that do? And this confuses people. And you need to understand, many presidents have had this authority. But what it enables a president to do, and really not the president, but the U.S. trade representative that negotiates these agreements, is once they have reached agreement, they submit to Congress their agreement for an up and down vote, which means you can either vote yes if you favor it or no if you do not favor it. That's your only really input. Thumbs up, thumbs down. You can't amend the agreement at all. In other words, no amendments are allowed. Second, you cannot filibuster the agreement. You see, what's going on, the president negotiates this. It's a delegation of authority from Congress to the president to negotiate. And the Congress, as well as the American people, only get to see what they've negotiated. In other words, what is their work product at the end? And then Congress either turns it into a, passes a bill that the president subsequently signed, or they don't do it. Usually, I don't know the exact percentages, but it's near 100%. Once it's submitted to Congress under this type of rule, namely no amendments, no filibuster, in other words, there's a set period of time and that's it to discuss it, it becomes law, and most of the time it's near 100%. I could be wrong on that, but if I am, not by much. So it's turning what the president has done or his administration has negotiated. And Congress gets to look at it, and we do have, under the trade promotion authority that we're trying to give the president, a 60-day period in which to look at it. And that's important. You need time to look at it, because these agreements tend to be long and tend to be complicated. And even if you're familiar with the area, it just takes you time to digest what's in the agreement. So step one is to give the president this authority. A number of conservatives, a number of libertarians take the view, and so do I. I don't trust President Obama. Many Republicans don't trust President Obama. Many Democrats don't trust President Obama. And I used to negotiate contracts. I do not negotiate with people I don't trust. I certainly don't give people I don't trust the authority to negotiate for me. Why? Because they'll put language, legal language, usually buried somewhere in the agreement that I would take exception to. And because President Obama doesn't inspire confidence from the majority of the American people, as well as the majority of Republicans, I say don't give them the authority. Let's stop the process right here. I hope they do not give the President of the United States the authority, the Fast Track Authority, or the TPA, Trade Promotion Authority, to go forward with this. Now, you need to understand something, and let me make this very, very clear. I'm for limited government. I'm a classical liberal, commonly referred to in the United States as a libertarian. In Europe, they refer to it as just liberal. Not to be confused with an American liberal, which today they like to be called progressives. I'm a very hardline free trader. I very much support free trade. But I would not let this president negotiate those types of agreements. And that's really the end of the discussion. If I were in Congress or in the Senate, I would say, no, you can't count on my vote because I don't want to give the president that authority. The Republicans, the majority of Republicans, want to give this president the authority. I say, fellas, what's the rush? What's the rush? Why is this trying to be pushed through in the last 18 months of the Obama administration? I smell a rat, and I think I know where the rat is buried, and it stinks to high hell. It stinks to high hell. If what you need to understand, there are three parts or three separate agreements. The one that's getting that if the president were given the authority, there are three deals, if you will, or agreements, partnerships that they're negotiating. A lot of the attention is being focused on the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which involves 12 countries, and ostensibly it's for lowering tariffs, either eliminating or lowering tariffs. I'm all for that. As a matter of fact, I even take a more extreme position. I want the United States government to eliminate all tariffs, unilaterally eliminate all tariffs. Now, in a minute, I'll explain why. There are many people that oppose that, that are protectionists. They're trying to protect either a firm or an industry located in their district or state. I'm very much a hardcore, hardliner, free trader. You would think I would be for these agreements. And for most of the language, if I had access to it, if I could read it, I probably would be for it. At least those portions of those agreements that deal with two specific areas, namely tariffs. And by tariffs, I mean the reductions of tariffs, either between countries or amongst a group of countries. Ideally, eliminate all tariffs. Think of tariffs as a tax. Governments can tax, for example, the United States, about 13%, between 13 and 14% of the United States economy, the goods and services that are produced are exports. We export our goods to certain nations. We have so-called trading partners. And some of these nations still impose taxes, tariffs, on goods imported from the United States. So it's a very good idea for the United States, if it's not unilaterally going to do away with all tariffs, U.S. tariffs, to then negotiate bilaterally with these countries to eliminate or dramatically reduce tariffs. Why? Because it makes U.S. goods more expensive vis-a-vis locally produced goods, assuming they're even produced in that country. So you can think of free trade as eliminating taxes in both countries, both in the United States and abroad. I'm for lower taxes. Now, in a previous show, I made a point is, and this is important, but I'm not going to give the history of U.S. trade. For many, many decades, it was the Republican Party, and this was when the federal government was much smaller, like 3% or less of GDP. The way the federal government funded the federal government was through tariffs, putting taxes on the imports of foreign goods from whatever nation they came from. Who benefited from that? Obviously, the government needed to be funded, so they got revenues to fund the government, so the government was a beneficiary. But the bigger beneficiary were the industries that directly competed with those imports, and by putting tariffs on it, it made imported goods more expensive and difficult to compete with U.S. manufactured goods. So the Republican Party, for many decades, were for tariffs. And through history, there was a, how should I say, debate, conflict about either raising or lowering tariffs. Today, the role is somewhat changed in that most Republicans, not all, are free traders. In other words, they're for eliminating, and if that can't be done, at least lowering tariffs. Who benefits? If we're not taxing imports, U.S. consumers benefit because then they have the choice. They can buy U.S. goods or they can buy foreign goods absent a tariff. The important thing here is competition. We live in a world today where all businesses, all firms compete worldwide. It is very much today a worldwide market. You compete on price, quality, service, and other dimensions, but primarily price. And that needs to be understood. And if you have U.S. companies that simply are the high-cost producers, in other words, they cannot compete with foreign producers or manufacturers, one or two things are going to happen. If they cannot cut cost, they're going to go out of business, or they're going to have to take their business to a foreign nation and partner with them. That has happened. The United States has lost several million jobs to workers in other countries, primarily China, but there are other nations. First it was Mexico, then China, certain extent India. That is the nature of the situation today. You must compete. You're not doing our businesses a favor by trying to protect them, nor are you really protecting the workers, because the prices are higher. The question is really this. When consumers get low prices for a whole range of goods, they benefit materially versus a relatively small number of people and businesses that admittedly lose out because they're non-competitive. They're producing at much higher cost. This has been going on for several hundred years, really since the founding of this country. And tariffs have been an issue throughout our history, with different parties either for or against tariffs. I've given you where I'm coming from, because I believe in competition, and more importantly, I believe in consumer choice. In other words, consumer sovereignty. And consumers will spend money on goods that they perceive are less expensive and with equal or greater quality and reliability and service. It's not true you buy the cheapest good, because the cheapest good could be junk with lousy quality. A product or good has, like I said, a number of dimensions to it. And I leave it up to the consumers, the United States citizens, to decide what they're going to do with their money. We don't need the government to tell us what to do. And that's what they're doing with tariffs. So I'm all in favor of free trade and lowering and elimination of all tariffs between all our trading partners. And to the extent that any president or his U.S. trade representative accomplishes that, I'm all for it. Second of all, countries have what's called non-tariff barriers. One way to stop the flow of goods as well as services into a country is to have not tariffs, they might have zero tariffs, but to have so-called barriers to trade, but they're non-tariff barriers to trade. One example is you need certain licensing, or you need to have a partner, part of the business, your partner has to be someone in the country. There's a whole host of those, and they need to be eliminated too, as well as regulations. It's a combination of regulations, and they're very creative. Nations are very creative, so you need to look at both. You can't just look at lowering tariffs. You also need to eliminate non-tariff barriers to trade, and that is why we have specialists in the U.S. Trade Representative Office that do that, either by country by country, a bilateral agreement, or a multi-country agreement affecting all countries. Now, you're probably asking, well, I'm getting mixed messages here. You've told me you're a free trader, you're for a limited government, You don't want government intervention in the economy. You're for lower taxes. Well, why aren't you for the Trans-Pacific Partnership or another bill, the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership? One, I don't know all the details. Now, I'm not trying to beg the question, but there are a total of three agreements. I've just mentioned two. Only one of them can our representatives and senators actually go to a basement, can't take notes, can't talk about it, and look at the agreement. Now, I'll be the first one to say, yes, they're going to get a chance to look at it. When the president signs the agreement, then submits it to Congress, and there's a 60-day sunrise provision where the Congress has 60 days to look at it. So I'm at a disadvantage, but I didn't put myself in this disadvantage. And I need to say, to be candid here, most Americans never see or interested in this. This is a very, it loses people real quick. That's why I'm trying to be very clear and concise and not bogged down in the details. But the problem is I haven't seen the details. It's very much the argument, trust me, I'm here for the government, from the government, trust me. Well, I don't trust President Obama. So at that point, I stop. I don't support this, giving President Obama the authority to negotiate these deals, period. So I'm against what normally I would be for. Now, if you elect someone that's president that ostensibly is trustworthy, then at that point in time, we restart the negotiations and go forward. Remember, there are 12 nations involved. I don't have the complete list, but it's United States, Canada, Mexico, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, Brunei, Malaysia. I'm forgetting a couple, but we're united between the United States, Canada, Japan. We're most of those goods and services. And it is in the interest of all these countries to eliminate tariffs and non-tariff barriers to entry. I think it's a win-win-win situation all around, but I don't trust this president to do that. For the Trans-Pacific Partnership, at least our representatives in Congress can go into a basement. They have to sign in, can't take notes, can't talk about it. But there are two other agreements, and I'm looking at the time, so I'm not going to be able to cover both of them. One deals with Europe, and that's the Transatlantic Trade and Investment, I forget, is it an agreement or partnership? It's one or the other. It's TIPS. TTIPS is what they call it. And the second one, and this is the one where the rat is buried, is TISA, the Trade in Services Agreement. The Trade in Services Agreement. What you need to understand, the United States, about 80% of the United States economy is services. No longer manufacturing or agriculture. And I need to provide you some information. And before I forget, I almost did forget. The way you listen to this show, as well as get additional information that I really don't have time to cover, is to go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And if you do that, at the very top, you'll see my picture of me in the studio. Right below it, you'll have links to the last 60 to 80 shows. And below that, you'll have a lot of additional information from various points of view. And I want to emphasize that here. I have opposing views. Because what's happening here is you have a split in the Republican Party and a less extent in the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party are protectionists. They don't want any of these three agreements to be passed. At all. They're against it. And they stipulated what happened last Friday, they stipulated they wouldn't give the president the authority unless another legislation was passed, namely the Trade Adjustment Assistance. That's basically a welfare and training program for people that were impacted because of these trade agreements. So the Democrats are all for that. But they don't want to see any of these packages passed. They're primarily progressive, leftist, and they're against this. So even though they normally support trade adjustment assistance, they voted against it to stop this package because they both had to be passed. So they voted against something that they normally would voted for. That's what Nancy Pelosi was doing last Friday. You see, the Republican leadership made a mistake. They negotiated with the Democratic Party, and then the Democratic Party stuck a knife in their back. And Obama did it, and Obama had a defeat, and the Republican Party had a defeat. Instead of the Republican Party negotiating within their party to get the number of votes and resisting the packaging, they pursued this strategy, and all the work that the leadership done went to naught. That's why they're trying in the next 6 weeks to get something passed. In other words, bribe, twist arms, and that's not only the Republican leadership doing it, it's also President Obama trying to do it with the Democrats. I think this legislation, for all practical purposes, is dead. But where's the rat? And why am I against this, where I normally would support all three? Buried in the, and I need to say this, why do I know anything about it? There's been no documents shown to our representatives in the House or the Senate on this. None. It's secret. But it was leaked to WikiLeaks. That's why I have some of the details and why I now don't trust the Republican leadership. Because the trade and services agreement has provisions in that that would change immigration law. The effect would be to compel Congress to change immigration laws as well as the visa, the way visas are granted, L1 and B1 visas. How many industries would be affected? There's 38 of them. I read the list. I'm not going to bore you. I don't have time. There's a list of 38 industries that would be impacted. Remember, these are all service industries. You know what was really amazing? I go through this list, and I've been in several of these industries. I know the industries. You know what was missing from the list? Legal services. Surprise! Legal services were not covered. It looks like almost everything else was. You name it, accounting, construction, consulting, it goes on and on and on. All of these industries would be impacted, and visas, L1 visas, that's business visas, as well as B1 temporary. Now, when they say temporary, the limit is 7 years. Now, the blank just says X. Under current law, it's 7 years. Now, why am I pointing this out? This is a way around immigration law. That's what President Obama and the Republican leadership are trying to do. They're trying to make you focus, which people are, on the trade and investment aspects. And I'm largely for it. I'm for privatization. I'm for deregulation. I'm for eliminating and lowering taxes, namely tariffs. I'm for getting rid of non-tariff trade barriers, and there's a whole slew of them. So in terms of the trade and investment aspects of these three agreements, I'm more or less in agreement. But you see, that's the game they play. They negotiate a deal where a lot of what's in that agreement, most representatives would be for. What they put in it is something that most of them can't stand, and their constituents will go crazy. And the problem is they made it secret. No one knows the details. And if it weren't for the fact that someone leaked it to WikiLeaks, and then people that are experts on this looked at it, it's very, very clear that a large section of TISA, Trade and Services Agreement, deals with immigration, even though promises were made and languages were written that there won't be any impact to immigration law or to changes in the visa system. Ladies and gentlemen, we're being had by the Republican leadership and President Obama. Like I said, you can't trust President Obama, and guess what? You can't trust the Republican leadership anymore. Now, I had a lot of respect for Paul Ryan, who's used to be chairman of the House Budget Committee and now is head of the Appropriations Committee, and he's in charge. There, a subcommittee is in charge of trade negotiation. That's why he took a lead. And I have a lot of articles that you can read, and one is excellent on how the Republicans try to get this through. Now, he tried to poo-poo the idea by saying immigration is not in any of these agreements. That's an urban legend. Well, the urban legend happened to be true, because in one, it's one of the three, namely the Trade and Services Agreement, There's a whole chapter or section, if you will, dealing with this. And it certainly does impact immigration. Now, I might give the benefit of the doubt that Chairman Ryan wasn't aware of this, but this makes my point. I don't trust President Obama. I don't trust his trade representative. And they're trying to do an end run, and change immigration law through a trade bill. And that supposedly was not to happen, and it's happening. So the way to stop this double dealing and backstabbing, if that's the way you're going to play the game, no trade promotion authority. Vote against it, even though some of the people will be, and most of the people will be Democrats voting with you. Wait till we have a new president, hopefully a Republican, although I'm not a Republican, I'm an independent. I don't trust either party anymore. They lie to you, they mislead you, and they stab you in the back. And that's what this is. This has a stink to it, and the only reason we know anything about it is someone had the guts. Remember, there was a $100,000 reward, though, for the documents. So most of the people against this are Democrats, are leftists, both in this country and in Europe. The people that are free traders that should be supported, and I'm for the free trade sections, but not any way favor changing immigration law or changing the visa system through trade agreements. If you want to do that, then change it through a separate agreement. Don't bury it and hide it in one portion of these three packages. I'll let you know if anything breaks. I think it's dead. But remember, they have 6 weeks to pull this off. And most people are simply not paying attention. And that's what they're counting on, to sneak this through. It's rather, how should I say, disappointing. But that's why I said at the very beginning of the program, if you don't trust someone, you don't negotiate with them. And you don't give them the authority to negotiate for you. And that's what you're doing when you give President Barack Obama trade promotion authority. I'm going to extend this show. This is kind of a first. I didn't really pay too much attention. I got a note from our engineer that he was staying late. So I'm going to add probably another 10 minutes at most to the show. And I want to point out at least two or three articles that I strongly recommend you read. And probably the best one to really get your feet wet on this is from Real Clear Politics, an article by James Arkin. And it's published June 16th, today. How Republicans Delivered on Trade Promotion Authority. And it really gives you the strategy, what they were trying to do, what they were trying to accomplish, and the fact that, and this is very, very important, and I do credit Chairman Paul Ryan for this. Because this can be a technical area, see, I'm an economics economist by training. And one of my interests has been trade as well as monetary theory. I'm comfortable with this subject, but most congressmen aren't economists. They're primarily lawyers, but they make sure they protect themselves. So you need to educate people. You need to get them up to speed because you want their votes. And many of our representatives and senators had the same reaction that I have, but I stuck to my guns, that I don't want to give President Obama trade authority. Are you out of your mind? Yet they were very convincing that it was in the interest of the American people to negotiate trade agreements. And on principle, I agree with that. Like I said, probably 80 to 90% of the final language, I have no problem with it. As long as it's primarily lowering tariffs or eliminating them or doing away or eliminating non-tariff barriers, that's a win for everybody, the American consumer, as well as consumers in other nations, as well as producers. Does that mean nobody is going to get hurt? No, that's not true. Because what trade agreements do is force businesses to compete and compete globally. So why a U.S. manufacturer, where in the past was protected by high tariffs and could sell his goods. Once those tariffs are eliminated, many businesses, manufacturers, producers find themselves being the high-cost producer. In other words, they're not competitive, and the only way they're going to stay in business is to really relocate abroad. And there's no secret what's going on here. You're competing with people that make a lot less money an hour, way below the minimum wage. Now, that's not the whole story, but that is a driver. And that's why anytime you have a trade agreement, why overall the American people will benefit, they are going to be people that are losers. And those include American workers and American businesses. The name of the game today is competition. If you want lower price goods and services, as well as quality services, you have to compete globally. And if you can't, you're not competitive. You're going to go out of business. And if you happen to work for that business, you're going to lose your job. That's the hard, cold facts. But overall, who wins by far? The American consumer. The American consumer. Go to your big box stores such as Walmart. Many of the goods produced there are from abroad. They're not all produced in China, but many are. What that means is the goods that you purchase there, and I have purchased a lot of goods, not necessarily at Walmart, but a lot of the goods I buy today are not produced in the United States at all. I understand that. Were they designed in the United States? Many of them were, because many of those same goods at one time were produced as well as designed in the United States. You see, what you need to understand, you need to take a very long view. At one time, the United States, for all practical purposes, was an agricultural economy. In colonial times, more than 90% of what the United States did or produced was food. It was agricultural goods. Over time, that percentage went down, 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 and down. Today, last time I checked, it's under 3%. It doesn't mean we're not an agricultural power. Yes, we are. We have very fertile, very productive land. And what happened? We had an industrial revolution in this country. And many of the people that used to be farmers that worked on the farm went to the cities and worked in factories. So the percentage of the economy in manufacturing went up. Now, over the last 50 or 60 years, what has happened? The manufacturing percentage has gone down, and services are now the lion's share of the jobs that are done by Americans. It doesn't mean we don't have farms. We certainly do. It doesn't mean we don't have factories. We certainly do. But those farms and factories have to compete worldwide. I keep hammering that point. I'm not a protectionist. I'm against protectionist. Today, the party of protectionism is the Democratic Party. The roles have very much changed. One time it was the Republican Party. Today, the Republican Party is largely free traders. Not completely, but largely. There are some protectionists. It depends what district, what state you're from. It doesn't mean you don't have agricultural interest, manufacturing interest, and services, especially financial services. It's really very much district by district, and to a large extent, how our representatives vote reflects that. The majority of the Republican Party today are for free trade. Now, where are some of the differences? And here's where I think the Republican leadership has a problem. Many or several, a good-sized group in the Republican Party could have supported the Republicans in giving Obama trade promotion authority or fast track, but they didn't because they wanted, for example, assurances that none of this would impact immigration law. In other words, they're against open borders. And to some extent, there was language in there, at least in the TPA as well as the TPP, that said that. And representations were made by the administration that they weren't going to be changing immigration law or, for that matter, changing the way visas are granted. The problem is, because of the leak, it seems clear to me that that simply wasn't true. They were misleading, if not out-and-out lying. And maybe some of the people were fooled. And that's why they got behind giving the president fast-track authority. And I'm not sure now. Remember, only one of the three agreements do the representatives actually have something to look at. There are two other sections, and that's the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Act as TTIPs, and the Trade and Services Agreement. Those are secret, and there's nothing officially been shown to Congress at all. Total secrecy. The only ones that really know are the people negotiating this and the lobbies that are giving input. A lot of corporate interest. Now, I'm not against corporations protecting themselves. And like I said, I'm all for privatization as well as deregulation and reducing taxes or tariffs. I will tell you this, the Democratic Party in the United States, as well as the Social Democrats or the left in Europe, are against these agreements. They're protectionists. They don't want this to pass. And I don't like to be on their side at all. But when you really screw the American worker by allowing, and I think it will be a flood, an other invasion, the second wave of an invasion, not of illegal aliens. We've had an invasion of this country over the last 15 to 20 years. Depends where you want to start. That has resulted in between 30 and 50 million illegal aliens in this country today, and they don't want to tell you that because it would scare the American people that are truly against illegal immigration. They keep saying it's only 11 or 12 million, and we got to bring them out of the shadows. I wish it was only 11 or 12 million, but it isn't. No one knows the real number. The ones that really could come closest to it are in the federal government, and they're not talking. They're keeping that number secret. They're peddling this Census Bureau number that lacks credibility. It's a swag, a stupid, wild-ass guess at best. But that's the number you hear on the news. That's the big lie. That's what they don't want to talk about. And they, on both sides, was, oh, we only have 11 or 12 million illegal aliens here. Did you talk to the U.S. Border Patrol? If you did, and people have in the past, and you could do it today, that for every one apprehension on the border, we're only talking part of the situation here. For every one apprehension, at least conservatively, 3 to 5 don't get apprehended. Where do they go? They go to Dallas, Houston, Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York City, wherever the sanctuary cities are. And there's about 12 states. And yes, out of that 3 to 5, remember, that's the lower estimate. One of them returns. And that's been the history of immigration. Not everyone that comes here legally or illegally stays. They go back. They don't like it here. They can't learn the language, and they feel homesick, and they go back. But what does that mean? A minimum of 2 to 3 people make it to Dallas, make it to Houston, make it to L.A., New York City, Miami, wherever. There are about 12 states where they go. Not every state has a big immigration problem. I'll tell you, Texas does. California does. Florida does. New York City does. And some of your agricultural states, Georgia, North Carolina. Why? Because businesses hire illegal aliens. Why? Because they're cheap and they're compliant. And if they give the employer any problems at all, they can get rid of them. And businesses do that. Small, medium, and large. Now, illegal aliens or illegal immigrations, if you prefer, undocumented workers who break in this country, they're not really undocumented. They buy, which is a crime, fraudulent documents so they can work in this country. And then they don't have legal status. They work. That's a crime. And the employers that are hiring them are committing a crime, whether they know it or not. That's what's going on. It's not 11 or 12 million. Between 30 and 50 million are evading the country. Not every one of those are working. Many times they bring their spouses and children. Most of them are young adult males. So there's at least 20 to 30 million that are working here. Out of that 30 to 50 that are here. That's what you won't hear on the news. The media companies, your television networks, including Fox, don't want this out. They're keeping it from you deliberately because they know the reaction to it, especially politically and voting out of office, Republicans and Democrats that are involved with this, would throw many, many people in power out of power. And that's the one thing politicians are very sensitive to. They want to stay in power. They want to stay in power as long as they can, or as long as they can until they find an even better job as a lobbyist on K Street. And many of our senators and representatives today have gone on to make fortunes lobbying the very organizations that they came from. I'm for competition, and you got to earn a living. and the news media makes sure that the American people are kept in the dark. Do you think the newscast are really going to spend any time really going over the details of this agreement? Not really. They'll tell you about the horse race, who won and lost, what were the votes, maybe a little background as to why. But if you want to get that background, read that article from Real Clear Politics, how Republicans delivered the trade promotion authority by James Arkin. He did a very good investigative piece on this. And if you take the time, I think you'll understand part of what I'm going over. And I'm looking at the date. The date of this article was June 16th. I think I've already mentioned that. But there's another piece, another article you really need to look at. And this is from the Independence Centennial. Centennial. I think I'm pronouncing that right. It's called TPP/TISA will give Barack Obama vastly expanded immigration powers, experts say. Now, this article was dated June 10th. And the only reason we have this article, and remember the Trade and Services Agreement, it involves 23 countries, mainly the United States and European countries, but it also involves Turkey, Mexico, Canada, Australia, Pakistan, Taiwan, Israel. There's a long list of countries. Now, what'll get your attention is the immigration aspects of what's in this agreement. And they really were not known until someone leaked a draft document. It wasn't a final document. It was just a draft document of what was happening in this agreement. Now, remember, this agreement, I'm for trade and services. That's increased competition. That should lower prices, hopefully get better quality. The problem is, when you're dealing with services, you're dealing with people. And what some corporations do, and they're doing it already with H-1B visas, they want cheap, compliant labor. So they lobby Congress to increase legal immigration. We're not talking illegal here. We're talking legal immigration. That's the key point here. There are people in the Republican Party that dramatically want to increase legal immigration. Why? They're getting campaign contributions and pressure from people that give them money that are in their state or district that want to hire cheap labor from abroad, from India, from China, from any country. Today, that's somewhat limited. There's a limited amount. The problem is, if you read through, and I'm looking for this article doesn't have the list of services. And let me see if I can find that. There's a long list. There are 38 categories of services. The bottom line is this. What's going to happen if that were to go through? In other words, Obama got the authority. He finalized it. They sent it to Congress for an up and down vote. No amendments, no filibuster. What potentially could happen? You would have a second invasion of legal, not illegal. This time it will be a legal invasion. This is very much a Trojan horse. And remember, it's the details. And they can't change the agreement. I hope to find that article. It gives you the background. I think it might be in Wikipedia. I found it, I believe. Yes. Yes, I have. Read those two articles. There's a third article that you need to read. This is from the Economic Policy Institute. It's a working economics blog. Now, I need to say something. I don't necessarily agree with the points of view of these articles because I'm really much on the businessman's side. I want to expand business. I'm on the consumer side. I'm not on the protectionist side. And that's very much the Democratic Party today. I would be a natural supporter for these trade agreements, provided they don't change immigration law. Because the American people don't want changes in the immigration law. Oh, there's a lot of interest, especially agricultural interests, as well as manufacturing interests and service companies that want this. There's a lot of businesses that it's very simple. They're in it for the money, for the profits, and if they can cut cost of their labor dramatically by hiring foreign workers to come here to work for a period of time, they're going to do it. They're lined up knocking on the doors. And the way they're going to get language, this is a proposed draft from Article 5, Section 1. Now, there's a couple of details here, and I don't want to get bogged down in the weeds, but I need to make I'll just read the language, and that's always dangerous, but it's one rather long lawyer-written sentence, but it's very, very important. Each party shall take market access and national treatment commitments for intra-corporate transferees, business visitors, and categories delinked from commercial presence, contractual service suppliers, and independent professionals. And it goes on to be a little bit more specific. Now, let me give you what's going on here. A company wants to bring in or hire a service company and let them bring in their workers. They don't have to first do a market test. In other words, are there equivalent services available? They don't have to do that. And let me, you know something, I'm going to read the whole list. And this is real dangerous here. Here are just, I won't read the entire, the way I'm going to shorten this, I'm not going to read the entire categories. They have CPC categories. But just give you some, they have, first of all, professional services. What are we talking about? Accounting, auditing, bookkeeping, architectural services, engineering services, integrated engineering services, urban planning and landscape architectural services, medical and dental services, veterinary services, services provided by midwives, nurses, physiotherapists, and paramedical personnel. That is just the list in professional services. In other words, they're expanding the supply of foreign workers in this country for those services, but that's just one group. Then you have, and this is the Silicon Valley, the software industry, computer and related services, consultant services, software implementation services, data processing services, database services, other. You started getting the picture? You have a lot of companies that use these services, and they want to get them cheap, and they don't want to really hire American workers. So to get them cheap, they negotiate this in secret. And who gets screwed here? Every one of those people working in this industry better start paying attention. I'm reading this for a reason. Maybe I haven't hit you. Maybe you're not in one of these services so far. Let me repeat. If you're a lawyer, guess what? You're okay. But you're the only ones. Now, research and development services, R&D services on natural sciences, R&D services on social sciences and humanities. Interdisciplinary R&D services. Work for a university or college or company doing R&D? Guess what? You're going to have a lot more competitors. Now, let me read other business services. Hang on to your hats on this one. Advertising services. Marketing research and public opinion polling services. Management consulting services. Technical testing and analysis services. They have one that's proposed, services incidental to manufacturing. That's a new one. Related scientific and technical consulting services. Remember, all of these have codes, CPC codes with a number following it. Maintenance and repair equipment. Specially designed services. That is the other businesses' services. I'm not done here. This is a very comprehensive list. The only one I spotted that's off the list are attorneys, because they wrote it. Then, under construction and related engineering, if you're an engineer or in the construction business, you better pay attention. General construction work for buildings, general construction work for civil engineering, installation and assembly work, building completion and finishing work, and other. Have I mentioned your industry or services yet? Not finished. Environmental services, sewage services, refuse disposable services, sanitation and similar services, other. Now, this is the one that got my attention, because I spent many years, after I left the aerospace industry, I went into financial services, ran my own company. This is a proposed one. There are two of them. I don't know the differences. They just say financial services. Stockbrokers, insurance agents, better watch out on that one. Not done. Tourism and travel-related services. Hotels and restaurants. Well, we have a lot of illegals in that group. but they want to expand the legal ones as well. Travel agencies and tour operator services. Well, if you're a travel agent, prepare for more competition. Tourist guide services. And they have a number of two proposed ones. Transport services, trucking companies, your truck driver. Other services, auxiliary to all modes of transport. And finally, recreational, cultural, and sporting services, such as sporting and other recreational services. What are we talking about? There are two types of visas that people working for this, remember, these are the industries that are going to be impacted. You have people in foreign countries working for companies that provide these services. Are you with me so far? What this would do, and remember, this is a draft document. And it's a leaked document. But it was done in complete secrecy and was not supposed to see the light of the day. I salute the... I'm not necessarily a fan of WikiLeaks, but they do some good occasionally. And someone leaked these documents. They remember they WikiLeaks post a reward. I hope the guy gets his money but hides it because the government is probably after him. How do these people get in the country? It's not going to be illegal. They're not going to be crossing the Mexican-U.S. border, nor are they going to be overstaying their visas. No, they're going to be getting visas. Two types of visas. L1 intracompany visas as well as B1 business visas. In other words, this definitely impacts the visa program and immigration. Now, what's not clear, and it's subject to negotiation, is how long can these people stay? Today, if you have one of these visas, the maximum length is 7 years, but that's still subject to negotiation. Another thing, you can bring your wife if you have one of these visas. So you got to give a visa to one of these workers from one of these countries that are providing a U.S. business the service. Now, let me make clear, I'm for competition. I'm for free trade, but I'm also for something else. I'm for American citizens, and I'm for American workers. And they do need to compete in the global marketplace. But they don't need to have their own representatives, whether in the House or the Senate or the President of the United States, undercutting their activities so that a few businesses can make a lot of money by cutting their cost. This will be another invasion for many countries of legal immigrants into this country for the express purpose to compete with everyone, every American across this country that are in those various industries. Now, let me ask the obvious question. Do you think the people that work in those industries or have businesses in those industries, if they knew about this, would not be screaming to their representative in the House or the Senate or the President? You better believe they would be screaming. They'd be screaming for their heads. An urban legend? I don't think this is an urban legend, Mr. Ryan. See, I think I know what this is about. The Republican leadership is for open borders. They'll talk conservative. Some will even talk libertarian. But they're selling the American workers out. And this is just an additional sellout of American citizens and American workers. And what's in it for the Republican Party? I'll tell you, it's campaign contributions. They're bought rather cheap. And they think they can get away with this nonsense. And we have to learn about it through a leak. Remember, I started this program. I don't trust President Obama. This is something that President Obama and his allies in his administration would pull. He's all for open borders. He wants to give anyone that can get here a work permit. What the Democratic Party are up to is to make all the illegal aliens citizens. That's why they keep pushing a pathway to citizenship. First step, legal status, then a pathway to citizenship. We have Republicans that are pushing that. Jeb Bush, amongst others. That's why I say today we don't really have a two-party system. In the sense, what we really have is a two-party tyranny. We don't have the choices that consumers have when they buy goods and services. You either, like, I go in my grocery store, plastic or paper, and they've eliminated the tax Dallas put in a tax that lasted 6 months. The American people in Dallas complained about it. The retailers didn't like it. Their customers didn't like it. The cashiers didn't like it. Talk to them. I have. They hated it. Yet we had a nanny state watermelon representative. Yes, he's black.
Well, my neighborhood is dirty because of the plastic bags.
Well, why don't you bend down and pick them up? Or organize your community to clean up the neighborhood, not impose a tax from everyone in Dallas. Anyway, that tax got eliminated. The American people pushed back in Dallas. And when the American people learn further details of this rubbish, they're going to be up in arms. The Republican Party better watch their step. Both parties are now experiencing, and they've been experiencing this for many years. They don't tell you about it. More and more people are leaving both political parties, both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. Why? They're tired of being lied to. They're tired of being ignored. They're tired of being misled. And they're tired of their elected representatives putting illegal aliens and now legal visa holders ahead of American business, American workers, and American interest. We have a problem. The American people no longer trust their government and their elected representatives. Case in point. Now, you might say I'm overreacting. Well, Mr. Pronk, it's only a draft document. It was leaked. This isn't the final agreement. I'm waiting to hear that. This was the dirty rat that they were trying to sneak in, and that's what it is. It's a very devious way to make fundamental changes in immigration law and the way visas are issued. They rush it through. Our own representatives don't spend the time. They like their salaries, but they don't spend the time reading the bills. And what's even worse, they give a president that lies every day to the American people authority to negotiate this? Are you out of your minds? I'm mad. I'm disgusted. And you can see why I left the Republican Party. They're not fiscally responsible, and now they're going after businesses in this country and the people that work for them across the board. That's rather a long list. I read it deliberately because I know some of you are saying, well, it doesn't affect me. I'm all right. Well, if you're an attorney, you're all right. But that's about the only one that wasn't on the list. Where's the news media on this? Where's the television networks? You see, their monopoly, their viewership has gone down, down, and down. Why? Because today, because of the internet, I could get this information. 20 years ago, I couldn't. And they're trying to regulate the internet. Obama's trying to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, we have two political parties in this country. They're both big government parties. They both want to intervene both domestically and abroad. And they are ignoring the will and the concerns of the American people. That will lead to civil unrest. That could lead to a revolution. I'm not in favor of the revolution. I certainly don't support civil unrest. But when you try to do this to the American people and businesses, they need to be thrown out of office. I know some of them I can already hear. I didn't know it was in here. I didn't know. Don't vote against me. I didn't know. I'm paying you to know. I'm paying you, and the American people are paying you as representatives to do your responsibility. What you're doing with this fast track authority is delegating your job to the president that I don't trust and you don't trust to pull this. And you're pulling it because you have people putting money in your pockets and your campaign chest. It's big business primarily. It's the corporations, the multinational corporations. And I'll give you the irony here. I'm for privatization. Now, the left isn't. They want a government monopoly. Yeah, they want to give you a choice. One choice, you got to buy the government product. That's not what the American people want. They want free market capitalism with competition, not government monopolies. So I'm for privatization. I'm definitely for deregulation and lowering tax rates and taxes and lowering tariffs. I'm willing to bet when we ultimately see these agreements that most of the language in this, I would be behind. I could support. I don't expect the Democratic Party to support it. I don't expect socialists or progressives or however they identify. I don't believe any of the collectivists in the world are not for this. There's a lot of pushback, unfortunately, largely from the left in Europe on this, fighting it, even though a lot of this would benefit their own citizens. But when you try to sneak something in, and that's what this is about, you're going to get pushback. And I'm seeing already conservatives as well as progressives uniting against this. I don't want to be allies with progressives or Democrats. They're for big government and expanding the size and scope of the government. They think the answer to every society's problem is another law, another regulation, another tax, another program. That's what they're about. And then they wonder why the U.S. economy is stagnating. Look in the mirror, folks. You voted these guys in. And they made government bigger, bigger, and bigger, and now the economy is stagnating. We have a massive public debt. They're about to increase the ceiling again, probably to $20 trillion. There's been articles that I've been following, and this is a little bit of a detour. They've locked in. They're playing games. The Secretary of Treasury. There are ways the Secretary of Treasury or the Treasury Department can keep under the debt ceiling that Congress can impose, but he can only do it for so long. So it's only a matter of time before our great Congress increases the debt ceiling again to $20 trillion. You wonder why I left the Republican Party? Because under Bush and now Obama, balanced budget, that was a joke. I was the radical or extremist insisting on balanced budget. Oh, they talk about balanced budget. They can talk for hours, including Chairman Ryan. Never seems to be able to balance a budget. Couldn't do so to save his life. Neither the Democratic Party or the Republican Party want to balance the budget. And to pay the bills, they want more and more debt. Where's the leadership? We don't have leadership. I don't have a party to vote for. It's that simple. Now, some will say, well, why don't you change the Republican Party? Why? We do need a third party. I will say that. And you will be getting a third party once 50% or more of the American people identify as independents. We're not too far away. We've been in the independents in terms of the Gallup poll. I just checked it. I don't have the most recent numbers. But it's about 41% consider themselves independents. That's the majority. And both political parties better pay attention to that. Yes, independents can lean Democrat or Republican. I understand that. But there's a reason why it's 41% and it's been growing for decades. Like I said, when you ignore the concerns of the American people and do exactly the opposite of what you said you were going to do, and you lie to them, you mislead them. It's basic human nature. I don't want to associate with them, and I'm certainly not going to vote for them. That's what's going on. And once you cross that magic number of 50%, that means the Republican Party and the Democratic Party together are less than 50%. No matter how you want to split it, the independents have the votes. And that's what politicians understand. It's going to take the American people standing up, getting involved, getting active, organizing a viable third party that's principled, believes in the Constitution, believes in limited government, believes in living within their means, and that includes the government. In other words, fiscal responsibility and balanced budgets and paying off the debt. I'll be the first to say that the progressives, both in the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, have had a very long run. You'll get a debate as to how long, about 125 years, plus or minus maybe 10. The day of reckoning is coming. The American people, slowly but surely, are waking up. And yes, I know that the majority of people don't pay attention. That's what you're counting on. But if you have a competitor, a political party that is principled and selects very deliberately representatives and leaders that have integrity and support an agenda that the majority of the American people support, we will defeat Republicans and Democrats over and over and over again. Why? Because the message that I've just delivered will resonate with them. Nobody likes to be lied to. Nobody likes to be misled. And we've had massive amounts of that by representatives, senators, presidents of both political parties. Fellas, you got away with it. And you're trying to get away with it. But a new day is dawning. The American people will remember what you're doing. Remember, you could keep your plan if you like your plan. You could keep your doctor if you like your doctor. A family of four will save $2,500. Lies, 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 lies. The American people have long memories, and they know what's going on. And yes, half of them don't vote, don't care. The other half does care and does vote. And we will make sure that the people that got this garbage in this legislation are voted out of office. With that, I'll conclude my program with America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcast by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio.